You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
George Webb, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Marty Bent. Everybody said you should try to get on Marty Bent. I worked years. No, I didn't. But then you called me, so this is great. Marty Bent, here you are.
Well, I'm very excited about this particular subject because obviously DeepSeek was the big headline about a week ago with this new open source model that purportedly cost $6 million to train. And then I stumbled upon a presentation that you gave on January 3rd when much of the world was unaware about DeepSeek, basically talking about the connection between that company and the OpenAI whistleblower. And after watching that, I said, I have to talk to George to figure out how you got on this trail and were aware of DeepSeek before much of the rest of the world.
Yeah, I gave that similar presentation on the December the 19th, also in Silicon Valley, and you know, like right near all the venture partners, right where Sam Altman had got his start and got his first check from Elon Musk in Menlo Park at the Rosewood Hotel there. So I was right at AI, you know, headquarters sort of, and it wants to do notifications. I better allow those. Okay. It all started with a murder, and the murder of this AI whistleblower. And he was the guy responsible working with Ilya Sutskever, who Sutskever is the CTO of OpenAI, working with John Shulman, who does post training for 4 years, also working with Scale AI that does the DoD work for AI training. And he's with five other guys that are world-class experts, or four other guys, his last week he's alive, that are world-class experts, young, up-and-coming world-class experts on post-training. And then all of a sudden, DeepSeek, a week later, makes, this is just when it was version 3, R1 hadn't even come out yet. I'd said, oh my gosh, the only way you do that is to, and especially in the natural language processing scores that it was getting, the only way you do that is put in conversations like we're having between you and me, Marty, which is Americans talking to Americans. No matter how many Chinese people you hire, you can hire billions. You're never going to get the natural language between me and you. And somebody had to feed that information in. Now, I had previously worked with Eric Schmidt at Sun. I was one of 200 guys that worked for him. And so there's a lot of stuff Eric was doing with DeepMind that kind of bled over. He's very close friends with Nancy Pelosi. And so that's kind of where it led me to say, hey, somebody, and remember, this kid is murdered in his San Francisco apartment. He's working for OpenAI right after he supposedly is preparing a drive for the court for discovery. So isn't that the perfect time to kill somebody? Because that training drive can take DeepSeek from last place, a last place horse, and leapfrog the field to make it a first place horse. So that's what my presentation was about on the 19th and then again on the January 3rd.
Yeah, and so let's dive into the OpenAI whistleblower. What, again, he had this drive, what he was blowing the whistle. What I forget, my memory is escaping me. What was the public sort of positioning of what he was going to blow the whistle on? And
he had come out in the New York Times in October and said that a whole bunch of copyrighted material was being used, but it like New York Times articles, but then all sorts of articles. And that would explain a lot. But I said that there was something more, and I interviewed the mother and I went with them to the crime scene. First of all, it's a murder, not a suicide. Elon Musk tweeted it out 4 times after we showed the video. And the second piece of it was, it wasn't just copyrighted information. Like I had alluded to before, it's more the NSA type Snowden information, where you and I are calling each other on the phone with natural language. And then also you and I are texting each other, the call data records, and then the SS7 text type messages. And there's hundreds of millions of those they collect every day at NSA. It's that type of volume of information that seemed to go there. It seemed to go through Scale AI. They seem to put DeepSeek in front of Scale AI when they're partnering overseas. So for all those reasons, I said it's not just copyright information. It's this NSA Snowden type information that's being used to train. Because just doing New York Times articles or whatever, you know, there's a training set called the Common Crawl. And it's every website, et cetera. And there's transcripts in there and so forth. But it doesn't give you the depth of sequential reasoning and how people go through sequential reasoning, like how a doctor does the reasoning, diagnostic reasoning. It had that capability. It started scoring better and better on the USMLE, which is the medical licensing examination. It jumped way up on USMLE. And when I saw the medical reasoning, I said, oh, that's different. That's like a doctor talking to another doctor, going through the sequential steps, going through the flow chart of the diagnostic reasoning. That is new. And that's where I started zooming in. And then the mother told me that there was a government information source that she couldn't reveal. And that's a government information, a classified information source that could not be revealed. And so that's when I started saying, oh, we're on to something hot here.
And so it seems apparent you're not going to, when the diagnostic like conversation, like being able to pass that test, you're not going to find that information in the New York Times, probably not on YouTube either. That is very specific to the domain of surgery or whatever it may be. Doctors have a certain language. And so it would be odd for a training model to basically be able to articulate what two doctors would talking on a diagnostic call. So the, I guess, is the theory that, is it OpenAI or was it DeepSeek was feeding these large language models from data centers that the NSA had access to in Utah or something similar to that?
I've known Eric for a long time. I've known him for 30 years, and I've known what he's done in AI for 30 years. So I'm kind of going on personal information here a little bit, but Eric started the Defense Information Board. This was a kind of Clinton and then a Biden initiative to basically take government technology and move it to Silicon Valley. It was the Defense Innovation Unit, the DIUX, and it was called Experimental. It started DIUX Experimental. It was right by Google. It was right by by Moffett Airfield, where Silicon Valley was born. You know, so there was a lot of connections with DeepMind, Dennis Asaba. So there's a lot of metadata that's behind this judgment. but to answer your question, I think that information was initially used to train OpenAI because it's going to be sensitive. It's going to be also used to train Scale AI for the really sensitive stuff, for like the classified and top secret stuff. But the proprietary stuff, you're in my conversations, private conversations for OpenAI for sure. And then you can create what's called a distillation model, which is much slimmer, 1/100 to 1/1000th of the size. If you're trying to do a specialized AI, so if you just want something that analyzes deplorables conversations and then says who's going to be a terrorist out of this group, you can train a distilled AI, and this is what I think DeepSeek got, and this is what I think the intelligence agencies were trying to move offshore before Trump took office, and this is why this all happened so quickly, and there was such a market disturbance with NVIDIA and so forth.
Yeah, and this is where I'm trying to figure out the connection between, obviously, OpenAI, Sucher Balaji worked for them, and DeepSeek is the theory that he was taking the training information from OpenAI and giving it to DeepSeek so that they could train their model?
Somebody was. The first four guys I want to talk to are the four Chinese friends he's had since high school. I don't think Sucher was involved in that at all. I think he's very ethical, and he probably got very uneasy when the lawsuits started coming in. Because, hey, I'm the guy on the hook here. I'm the guy who pushed all that all those terabytes and petabytes in Common Crawl is about a petabyte. I'm the guy who pushed all those petabytes in there. And now I'm the one who going to jail. So that's when he came forward in October and did the expose in the New York Times. Well, that caused a whole bunch of things to happen, which is now everybody knows that OpenAI might have had, and now this stuff is going to be discovered. So now what do you do if you're the intelligence agencies and you have a deplorables database, you know, an NSA database, and you're using AI and the NSA information? What do you do? It's like Snowden all over again. It's like Clapper and, you know, all over again. You gotta move that to your partner in China. And that's why I think the DeepSeek just went through the roof in terms of natural language processing. A lot of people are saying other things, but that's the theory of the case.
Mm. And yeah, I mean, you said you visited the crime scene with Satir's mother. What was that like?
Well, there's blood, vertical drops from blood, like a nose, like he was hit from behind or something like that. But vertical, few sprinkled, like when you have a nosebleed after you shave or whatever. And then three pools of blood out of the bat. That was into the sink, and his hair into the sink, like he was hit from behind. And then three pools of blood leading out as he's crawling out of the bathroom. And then he dies in the sort of the door jamb of the bathroom, about 10 feet away. And then there's another little spot of blood over where the backpacks are. Remember, he had just come back from a 4-day hiking trip with these four Chinese guys. And there's one spot of blood. Now, he would have had to shot, you know, after he supposedly shot himself. He was bleeding by the sink, supposedly then sat down. We had a forensic expert say then he sat down in the bathroom. Then he shot himself through the forehead. The bullet missed the brain. How often do you miss your own brain when you're trying to commit suicide? Lodged between the C1 and the C2 process, in the dens of the C2, I believe, and the process of the C1. And he didn't die right away. So who does that? And so there's a whole bunch of things that don't add up in the suicide, and then nothing is taken. His computer isn't taken, his phone isn't taken, none of his possessions are taken. The only thing that's missing that the parent tells me about is this drive. Seems like somebody killed him for the drive. And so that's kind of where the case is right now.
Mm. And what's the latest on the Chinese roommates?
Well, I know all their names. I want them to come forward because I want to say that they aren't a part of this. They are, they're lifelong friends. They're not roommates of his, but you know, one works for Scale AI. Brian Chen, works for Scale AI. That's an important player in this DOD initiative to put AI into, you know, like the NSA. Another one, Chris Chang, works for Alphabet Company, foreign air Schmidt Company, Alphabet, which is Waymo, the cybercab company. And then another one, the two other guys, Tony Zhu, ZHU, runs the Berkeley lab, the Berkeley AI lab, BAIR, which is infested with Chinese spies. It's the most international university and the most Chinese university in America. And this is where I'm saying these guys don't necessarily have to be involved at all. If they're using a shared drive at the BAIR, somebody could be lifting their stuff off of the Berkeley lab. And the other guy, William Gann, is another post-training expert. Right. So this is not like, you know, just four buddies that play basketball together in high school, you know. And so what I'm saying is I want those four guys to come together so they can establish, because they were together for 4 days on Catalina, so they can help establish all the things Satir did and said before his death. That helps people crowdsource the information of what his thoughts are so that we can figure out the murder.
Yeah.
They have not come forward yet, and I want them to.
What's up, freaks? This is Nat. You don't want to skip because Fold has a great offer for you. Everyone knows about Fold, the app where you can earn the most Bitcoin rewards for everyday purchases. I did this yesterday. Me and my wife, we use Amazon to buy quite a few things. And instead of just putting our credit card into Amazon and buying there, I put my credit card into Fold. and buy an Amazon gift card and upload it to Amazon. Why? Because I get the credit card points and then I get sats back. Yesterday, I bought a gift card. I made 10,181 sats, about $10.50 in Bitcoin. And it's the only way to do it. If you want to stack Bitcoin passively, make sure you're using Fold gift cards. Fold has a special deal. I mentioned it earlier. If you're not shopping with Fold gift cards, you're leaving sats on the table. New users that sign up to Fold are going to get 20,000 sats in a welcome bonus with their first gift card purchase. So don't leave sats on the table. Sign up now at foldapp.com/Marty. Get those 20,000 sats, freaks. Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use and hard to lose. It is a hardware wallet that natively embeds into a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You have one key on the hardware wallet, one key on your mobile device, and Block stores a key in the cloud for you. This is an incredible hardware device for your friends and family, or maybe yourself, who have Bitcoin on exchanges and have for a long time, but haven't taken the step to self-custody because they're worried about the complications of setting up a private public key pair, securing that seed phrase, setting up a PIN, setting up a passphrase. Again, BitKey makes it easy to use, hard to lose. It's the easiest 0-to-1 step, your first step to self-custody. If you have friends and family on the exchanges who haven't moved it off, tell them to pick up a BitKey. Go to bitkey.world, use the key TFTC20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's bitkey.world, code TFTC20. I mean, this is... if information comes to light and the theories do find some validity in reality, like, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, because the AI race is the hottest topic in the world right now. I mean, DeepSeek just launching and open sourcing their models alone sent U.S. equity markets down 20% in one day, like the next Monday. And I think it's become pretty clear, at least from a narrative perspective, that artificial intelligence and its future in our world is becoming a national security issue that the Trump administration seems very keen on ensuring that the U.S. leads. And that's nobody seems to be drawing this connection between DeepSeek and OpenAI that you have. And since DeepSeek launched their R1 model, I haven't heard anybody talking about this publicly except for you. And I think that's important. And
talk to people who train AI models and, you know, do post-training, and they say volume is the key. You know, a lot of the human annotation is helpful. Like if you train AI and say, here's 100 good examples, here's 100 bad examples. Now here's 500 million phone calls I want you to go through and score. And then I can create an adversarial network that I then grade that set of tests, and then I can have humans go back in and say, well, there's 100 good and 100 bad, and here's where you graded it wrong, and then run it again in an iterative way, and it gets better and better and better as it's scoring, right? And this is what scale AI does. It's not just brute force and ignorance. It's iterative training, iterative post-training, so that the model gets better and better. That's the key. And the people who wrote the paper on that iterative post-training, are John Shulman, Ilya Sutskever, William Gann, Tony Zhu, and Suchir Balaji. These are the experts in iterative post-training. So why is that important? Well, like you said, it's for all the marbles. If we can't figure out how DeepSeek did this, it's like Sputnik. It's like not being able to figure out the atomic bomb and the Germans getting the atomic bomb and us not in World War II, or the Russians getting it in the Cold War and us not, right? It's that polemic of an event. To catch up so quickly, right, usually is espionage. If you remember the atomic bomb case was, there was supposedly the Rosenbergs with 7 type pages and explain the explosive lens. No, it was an Agent Sonia and Klaus Fuchs doing big files every day for months. That's what did it through the Cambridge 5. And a similar thing happened with the Russians, right? Getting all the secrets they got for bioweapons and all these other things, infiltration, right? And what people have ruled out so in this whole discussion is infiltration, right? But we know that we've had many, many Senate meetings. Rubio was big on this for a while, that all these American universities were being infiltrated, but everybody has said, no infiltration all of a sudden, right? It's the Chinese work harder. We've had a whole bunch of apologists come out and say, the Chinese have just worked harder. You know, it shows you what you can do with a little bit of grit and spit, right? And then you have the other folks who say, no, there's this secret cache of 50,000 Hopper chips, you know, H800s, and they actually cut that out of their reporting. And there's a new report out by a company called Semi Analytics that says this. And then they got a firm, a hedge fund firm named Highflyer, to buy these chips secretly before the trade restrictions came in on that. And when you work at the U.S. State Department and you're working with things that are doing complex math, supercomputing math, thousands of processor servers, you tend to notice. If it's not mm-hmm. being done in a joint venture, you tend to notice when they're doing that. And so that's really what there's only two choices right now. One is they're just the plucky little Chinese. They're really doing a great job. And then the other one is there's this secret 50,000 Hopper server, right? The key learning in the last 3 months is that post-training, especially iterative post-training, is the thing that brings the expertise. It's not regurgitating New York Times articles that are talking about ice skating days at, you know, Rockefeller Center, right? It's people that are putting in the expert level, and especially the sequential reasoning, that's bringing this reasoning capability to DeepSeek.
Yeah. Now, and going back to the apologist saying it's just Chinese putting in more effort, more time, their STEM focus on STEM education is what's giving them the sleep. It just completely contradicts everything we know from Chinese just stealing Western IP and copying it and iterating on it. And then, I mean, just last week, you had somebody from the Federal Reserve get arrested for getting caught sharing secrets with the PBOC in terms of Fed policy. Obviously, Eric Swalwell, California rep, was dating a Chinese spy. You had the event with what's his name, Senator McConnell, Mitch McConnell. Was it his sister-in-law was murdered on his ranch?
His wife was Chinese too. Yeah. So Mark Zuckerberg is buying GPUs and creating biohubs. His wife, the Chow, I'm here in Irvine at the Chow Cancer Center for mRNA vaccines. So there's a AI generated. So there's a lot on the table here. But if you go back to my original reporting in March 2020, we looked at a AI lab that was being established in Wuhan in December of 2019. Right, in December. And the program was called, from DARPA, was called Domain. And the idea is that you figure out the lock and key mechanism between the ACE2 receptor and the spike, right? And using AI informs, when you're trying to do serial passaging and you're trying to get from a bat, because you want to say, okay, the bat gave it to the humans, right? You have to then go into the lab and put needles in bats, right? And then come up with something close to a bat, like a ferret, right? That has a similar ACE2. And you have to build a genetic bridge all the way to humans in order for that story to wash. Right. And it's a lot of, they had 20,000 different spikes that they tried. But if you have AI and you have a little bit better idea genetically, what's the next rung of the ladder genetically to getting to humans, the AI can inform your iterative serial passaging. And now we have the receipts. Elon Musk came out yesterday with the receipts. We gave $40 million to Ben Hu at the lab. And this is where we said AI was being used in a joint venture between DARPA and the Chinese Academy of Sciences, right? And that's where they got the 50,000 Hoppers. Highflyer didn't wake up one day. I can't remember, Wen Feng, the CEO, he didn't wake up one day. And, you know, I've been trading a lot of stocks lately, and I just think I need to pick up 50,000 Hopper GPUs. You know, H800 is a nice number. I think I'm going to go get 50,000 of those. No, it was very much in the strategy of the Chinese Academy of Sciences. It very much was in the joint venture with USAID Predict. And I told this to Donny O'Sullivan in a nationally televised interview of CNN that it was USAID Predict, and it was a joint venture. And this is going to be the same place why they bought the chips, why they bought the GPU chips, because this lock and key mechanism, when you're trying to figure out the spike match to the ACE2 receptor, is exactly the type of heavy compute that you need to do. And I know the project. I know Eric worked on the project. Dennis Asabas worked on the project. It was called AlphaFold. And Dennis just won the Nobel Prize for AlphaFold. So I know Nancy Pelosi was doing this. Nancy Pelosi uses Eric as her personal investment advisor. These chips were procured at the AI lab in Wuhan. Now, they might have moved it. They might have moved the chips to another lab, but the Chinese just don't go out and buy chips for no reason. They go out and buy chips very strategically. And they didn't even know at that time GPU chips were so important. The only way that knowledge could have come was Eric Schmidt at DeepMind and Google, right? And the only way it could have been approved for export was through help in Congress through Nancy Pelosi. That's the only way. She's moving off into AI for medical in a big way. Expect big things from Nancy Pelosi and Eric Schmidt.
This rip was brought to you by our great friends at Unchained. As Bitcoin's role in the global financial landscape evolves, understanding its potential impact on your wealth becomes increasingly crucial. Whether we see measured adoption or accelerated hyper-Bitcoinization, being prepared for various scenarios can make the difference between merely participating and truly optimizing your position. This is important, freaks. This is why Unchained developed the Bitcoin Calculator, a sophisticated modeling tool that helps you visualize and prepare for multiple Bitcoin futures. Beyond traditional retirement planning, it offers deep insights into how different adoption scenarios could transform your wealth trajectory. What sets this tool apart is the integration with the Unchained IRA, the only solution that combines the tax advantages of a retirement account with the security of self-custody. In any future state, maintaining direct control of your keys remains fundamental to your Bitcoin strategy. Go explore the potential futures at unchained.com/TFTC. Bitcoin is going up. Make sure you're protecting it the right way. Make sure you have a good partner. That is Unchained. Go to unchained.com/TFTC.
Well, with all that, it's like, that's what I'm trying to get in my mind is like, who are the good and the bad guys here? Or are they all bad guys just competing with each other? Because it seems like there's some level of espionage cooperation between U.S. actors, Chinese actors, and now with Doge getting in attacking USAID other forces, whether it be an AI, trying to delineate between Western AI and Eastern AI. It's just like it's such a murky landscape that it's like who's actually on
Adam Schiff
on my side as yeah
bad actor, John Brennan bad actor, Dr. Sun Shang his immunity bio partner with cancer mRNA vaccines bad actor, right? He's trying to be a good actor now. He's trying to sidle up and say chummy things about Trump and where are all these cancers coming from? Gee, I promoted SV40 promoters in all the mRNA vaccines. And now he's like, where did all the cancers come from? Why aren't all the cancers spiking? Huh. You put the SV40 promoter in the mRNA, and then you're wondering why 3 years later there's a spike in cancers. Okay, I get that. And you also sell cancer vaccines? Okay. So those are the bad actors. We've been saying that for 8 years. And what is really good, you mentioned this about Doge, is Elon's able to get now with Treasury access, right? He's able to get in and see the disbursements. He's able to see the secret budget, right? And we said it was USAID. We said it was USAID Predict. Donny O'Sullivan in March of 2020. I just published the video again, the phone call again. It's not like human investigators anymore. Human investigators, you can put them on false trails and so forth. AI goes in and looks at all the disbursements of the U.S. government and sees what has a matching PO and what has a matching voucher, right? And what has a matching cost justification. And you can see the open POs. It's like when Donald Rumsfeld on September the 10th said we got $2 trillion missing, and then the next day the plane hits the auditor's office, right? But Dov Zakheim was the auditor, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
It's like we know where the $2 trillion went. When he puts his AI, Grok, or you take any of the AI, they're going to be able to quickly go in and see what doesn't have a match. What doesn't have a matching voucher? What doesn't have, if it's a good, what doesn't have a matching bill of lading? If it's a service, what doesn't have a matching statement of work? You're going to be able to see that immediately. And we already know it's AID predict. We already know it's the $40 million to Ben Hu, and there's going to be other USAID predicts around the world that we've done this. We can just follow Nathan Wolf and Metabiota, another USAID partner, predict partner. But by zooming in, and he's there, he was there till midnight last night. So he's zooming in, he knows what he's doing. He's going for blood. He's a shark that smells the blood in the water. And we're really getting down now to how a bunch of insiders wanted to use high tech and use DARPA technology and farm it out to their partners in China so that they can make rapacious profits rather than sharing that and keeping that technology here in the United States. That's the story. And if you notice, all of the companies in AI that got congressional approval and so forth are all in Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco. OpenAI and Grok were in the same building at one point before they moved to their bigger headquarters, right? And then, of course, Scale AI is in San Francisco. And, of course, Metabiota is in San Francisco. They're all in Nancy Pelosi's back pocket for a very good reason, congressional protection. And Elon is all over this, and it feels great.
Yeah. Well, that's a big question. I mean, the surface level marketing of Doge is we need to cut costs to put the U.S. economy back on solid footing because of our debt situation and all that. But it seems like there is a layer below this, which is we are truly going to drain the swamp and lay bare all the corruption that has been happening behind the scenes for many decades now.
And this is what, I mean, the $40 million receipts to Ben Hu came out in Wuhan, Institute of Virology. It's just starting. You know, he's going to come up with so much stuff with Grok, it's not even going to be funny. It's going to be the days of milk and honey here really quickly with USAID. And we've been following them ever since Haiti, and Rajiv Shah became the 37-year-old youngest head of USAID for the Clinton Foundation. He then went on to run the Clinton Foundation. Then he went on to run the Rockefeller Foundation. So this has been an insider's game for a long time. This has been an insider's slush fund in virus and vaccines, especially cancer vaccines, for a long time. And Elon's getting to the heart of it. And to me, that's more important than finding out, you know, six guys working on a pothole and there should have been three, you know. Trump's doing that already with voluntary bailouts. I think people can opt out for a year or two salary if they, yeah. That's gonna be the best thing because there's gonna be no lawsuits because people are gonna take voluntary packages. So I would just say let him do that. Let Trump do the waste part of government, and let Elon do the corruption part because Elon has the tools. Because if somebody says, oh, there's a billion records, that's nothing for Grok. So I'm really excited to watch Elon as he's going here. He's there till midnight last night, and Mike Johnson's watching over him. You know, like, oh God, Elon, don't find another thing, you know, another deep state thing. So you got the CIA guy watching him, you know. So it's really kind of fun right now to be a news consumer right now.
Yeah. I mean, and just the reaction from the incumbent entrenched bureaucrats, the one guy who was at the Treasury who resigned abruptly because they asked to see where all the payments were going. And then the pearl clutching that has ensued has become clear that Elon has set up beds in the USAID office and has six cracked Zoomers getting on their laptops and diving into everything. And what in terms of, I don't know if you have any hopes or whatever, but like, what is the best outcome, in your opinion, and what are the potential ramifications of everything being laid bare?
I've waited 5 years for this USAID predict thing to break with the Donnie O'Sullivan thing in March, almost 5 years ago now. And the last 24 hours has just been fantastic for me. It's exceeded my expectations, but beyond all measure. Elon's all over it, and I just want to see this continue, because getting to the dark budget, getting to the black budget, is how they control the government. It may be a small percentage of the total budget, but it's the dark hand that takes the democracy away from you and me. So getting to that dark hand like he's doing, and he's already showing how incredible he's doing it, that's the juice for me. The money and the waste and everything, that can happen later. But getting to the people who have their hand on the throat of democracy is a beautiful thing. Get that vice grip off the throat of America and let America breathe again. And I think the American people are so industrious that just take the hand off their trachea, you know, and watch them go.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Just coincidentally over the weekend, I started reading a book called Gold Warriors that dove into the history of Japan's pillaging of gold and artifacts from much of Asia over the course of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And I haven't gotten to the point in the book, but I think what it talks about is how post-World War II, how the U.S. sort of found that large gold stash that Japan had accumulated and used it as a slush fund for black black budgets for many decades.
And Lonsdale in Philippines. Lonsdale ran that program, and Lonsdale went later on to other things. And I've worked very closely with a guy, John O'Loughlin, whose father was kind of went head to head, supposedly worked with Lonsdale, but for him, but he knew that he was the traitor. And I've been trying to prove to the son that it was you versus, it was your dad versus Lonsdale. In all of this, in the Kennedy White House. But there is, and it's not a slush fund for the State Department. It's a slush fund for the Central Intelligence Agency hiding behind the State Department. I just wanted to clear that up. But yes, that hand has been on the throat of the U.S. government since World War II, since the creation of the CIA.
Yeah. And it's funny, and all the quote unquote conspiracy theories have been coming true for many years. And this would be the ultimate told you so. The CIA and the intelligence apparatus is really running things behind the scenes. They're running amok and they're completely unaccountable. And again, going back to the ramifications, what are do we have Nuremberg trials for this? Like what? Like who?
A lot of the people are dead. I mean, I see get the RFK and JFK assassination, MLK out. So all those guys are dead. But at least then people will see what's happened, right? And then, you know, I always say I'm not for the whole Nuremberg thing, because then they say you're being hateful. I'm for all putting them on like an island, like Elba, you know, and let them play pickleball or, you know, whatever they want, you know, as long as they're on a little Elba island and not hurting anybody. That's the number one thing, is defanging them. And I don't necessarily need to see anybody hang, because as soon as you call for somebody to hang, then they say you're being hateful. So I say, let's just have a pickleball tournament on Elba.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is talking about spinning up more facilities on Guantanamo Bay. He alluded to Australia-like island for... Yeah.
That would be good.
So in terms of from today, obviously there's been a lot of news in the last 24 hours, but what do you think people listening to this should be paying attention to?
Elon Musk.
Days and weeks to come.
Elon Musk, USAID predict. It's going to answer the question of the last 4 years. It's going to answer the question of the lockdown. It's going to answer all of the exfiltration to China over the last 10 years. I think it's 20 with SARS, MERS, SARS, you know, 2 progression. It gets also into people where they've outsourced things from Fort Detrick, the Erasmus Lab. It gets to how they've outsourced things to American universities to hide gain of function type things, UPMC, UTMB, UNC. So it's all these things, which is the corrupt dark hand. And then just the whole slush fund for overthrows, Libya, Syria, Sudan, Yemen, Ukraine overthrow. It it also answers the private deals, like the private taking of the Cold War highly enriched uranium and giving it to Iran and getting 15%, you know, as a commission for the DNC versus the people of the United States. So all of these things are come from the corruption side, is what I call it. And then Donald Trump will do great on the waste. You know, he's a builder, you know, he's always trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, things are efficient. But I think Elon is the one to watch on the corruption side. He's really doing some great stuff.
Do you think he's trustworthy in the long run? There's a lot of people who are skeptical of Elon and his motives and what he's trying to do with X, well, turning it into an everything app.
The everything app. I saw Whitney's Whitney Webb's thing on the everything app. It's sort of like the last helicopter. Are you guys related? No. I would be proud to have her as a daughter. She's excellent. I love, and I've talked to her, and wonderful writer, and her series on Jeffrey Epstein and corruption in America with going back to Robert Maxwell. Great stuff. They just throw a lot of Mr. Greens and Mr. Whites and Mr. Browns and Mr. Blacks into the citations, and that kind of gets in the way a little bit in the book, because that's deliberate to obfuscate the real actors, but she does fantastic stuff. But I disagree with her in the Peter Thiel and, you know, Elon and the everything app, and this is going to, you know, be social control and the whole, you know, turn off your sole source of funding anytime, like WeChat. You know, Tencent has this WeChat app in China, and this is going to be what, you know, Elon wants to do here. It's sort of like the last helicopter out of Saigon. And they're gonna kill everybody when they get in the CIA annex. You know, do you get on the helicopter or do you say no? I don't trust the pilot. You know, it's kind of like we don't have a choice, really. We just don't have a choice. It's either Adam Schiff or Elon Musk at this point. And the helicopter, Adam's not picking us up. He's picking up the elites, right? So that's the way I see it. I mean, I like Whitney's healthy skepticism. I like that healthy skepticism, because Elon will see that and then it'll keep him honest. But I think he's our only game in town right now, and he's in a position of power and he's already done some pretty awesome things.
Yeah. No, Winnie's a good friend. She's been on the show many, many times throughout the years. And I think that healthy skepticism is important. But like you said, last helicopter out of Saigon. I mean, the USAID stuff alone, and you've been working on it. Obviously, Mike Benz, who's been on the show as well, he went on Rogan and sort of made that audience aware of USAID's place in the supply chain of corruption in the U.S. and how they are essentially the front for all this black market or black funding that goes on, whether it's via NGOs or a censorship industrial complex. And yeah, I'm hopeful that all this stuff is getting laid bare and we'll have some form of clarity at least, and the conspiracy theorists will be proven right yet again. And then Adam Schiff, like, you just look at him and it's like, I don't trust that guy at all.
Adam Schiff found my research partner, ex-cop woman named Jenny Moore, now deceased, suspicious death. But we were just sitting all alone in the Longworth cafeteria, completely empty cafeteria. Who comes in? Adam Schiff gets a salad, comes and sits right next to us and is listening to our conversation. But we were talking about us using encrypted communications on Capitol Hill for covert operations. So maybe that's why he was sitting next to us. But Shifty Schiff is shifty, and that's where you need to start looking. That's why they gave him pardons, right? Who issues a pardon to Biden, Fauci back to 2014 if he's not involved in gain of function in Wuhan since 2014? The metadata of the pardons almost tell you who the criminals are, right? That's kind of where to focus. And that's why I say, because of the preemptive pardons, you know, let them have their pickleball or whatever Hillary Clinton does these days. But we need to move on. Benz has worked at the State Department, I think, for a while. And so he knows it from the inside. And I really kind of focused in on PREDICT and, you know, DARPA ADEPT and the cross-section of DARPA with USAID PREDICT or P3 PREVENT and all the other things around cancer vaccines and so forth. But he has a bigger picture of all the other programs too. So that's exciting to see what Mike Benz is doing. It's exciting to see what Whitney's doing. She's been following the industrial surveillance state for a long time. I think she's the one to watch as well. So I think there's a combination of people here. It's kind of like the golden age of Athens. You know, we've all got people on our side helping us with documents now, and it's kind of like a golden age.
Yeah, it has been incredible to see. Bring it back to Adam Schatz. Have you ever heard the theory about Anthony Bourdain was a witness to something that Adam Schiff was involved in at the Standard Hotel in L.A.?
I went to the Standard Hotel. I went to Sunset Boulevard, and I went not far down the street is Chateau Marmont, you know, with Hunter Biden and all the crack and so forth. And I think all these things are spun up to get away from what we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I didn't find any evidence there. I talked to everybody wearing shoes there. And And I'm not trying to devalue any other person who's made contributions and says that's the truth. I'm just saying I found no evidence to support that.
All right. That's good to know. Because I see that one floating around. And that one pops up from time to time on X. I'm like,
yeah. That'd
be interesting. This is fascinating. And the like you said, the beauty of the modern age double-edged sword with all this high tech AI could be used for bad, but could also be used for good. Like being able to find you on X, DM you, have you come on. Similarly with Whitney, Mike, and I think this distributed independent media of people who really care about getting to the truth at the end of the day and surfacing what's actually happening is having a profound impact on what we know, like the truth actually getting to the hearts and minds and the ears of your average day common man.
Yeah. And it's an exciting time to be doing that. And, you know, the whole Peter Thiel thing, you know, the whole PayPal mafia thing. I'm not saying Whitney isn't hitting something there, you know, with the PayPal mafia, and Reid Hoffman is in there, and David Sacks, the new AI guy for Trump, is there, and they're all always there. It's always the DARPA kids that seem to come out on top as billionaires. I get all that, but it's for me right now, it's last helicopter out of Saigon, and I'm just enjoying the ride, you know.
Yeah. It seems like, again, with what's been laid bare in the first 2 weeks alone, it's like, all right, this is pretty good to know.
It's only been like George, less than 2 weeks. Yeah.
Like literally this is, I think this hour was 2 weeks to the hour when he was inaugurated. And that's another thing. Like he seems like he's on a war path after what they did in 2020, how they dragged him through all these lawsuits and tried to literally kill him a couple of times. It seems like Trump is, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to send it and really drain the swamp this time around.
I love it. This has been good stuff. And I'd love to come back, you know, and follow up. I'm working on the cancer vaccines really hard, the mRNA cancer. That was always the plan.
Are you talking to Kevin McKernan a lot about that?
We got off on the wrong foot. I respect Kevin, but I think there's some things that Kevin does that fall short. I think there was a private cancer project being run by the CIA and the people doing the Human Genome Atlas project, where they withheld the centromeres and the things were around cell division, and then they held back information on the telomeres, which is the cancer-oriented stuff. And they released it 10 years later. And that didn't go unnoticed with me, because what that means is, let's do the cancer genome atlas, but I'll reserve parts for private tiers, right? So that we can go develop mRNA cancer vaccines. But basically what happened, I think it was 20 years later that they finally published those, is they kind of gave up. Now they want the open source help, right, on those genes. It didn't turn out to just be P53. It didn't just turn out to be RAS. It didn't turn out to be just a simple pathway, right, that they could block with mRNA. It's much more complicated. And there's all kinds of biofeedback loops where, you know, cancer finds a way, you know, to get around. And now they want the help. So I don't think Kevin necessarily goes and exposes, you know, he had a gene sequencing company. I think it was the Agincourt. You know, I don't think he is fully or allowed to be fully transparent about the private nature of the Cancer Genome Atlas projects and the cancer moonshots. So I'm there to make sure that Kevin, you know, for the rest of Kevin's story. I love Kevin, but I just want to be there to tell the rest of the story about the genes that he forgot.
Interesting. This is fascinating stuff, George. I can't believe this is the first time you've been on the show, but hopefully it's the first of many. I'm sure there will be plenty of stuff coming to light in the coming months and years that will provide additional conversations, the need for additional conversations to keep adding context to this story. Where can people find out more about your work and follow you to keep up with the research that you're doing?
Well, there's georgewebb.substack.com. That's my sole source of income as paid. Most people are free. 99% of the people are free. But, you know, some people say, oh, I want great journalism. I'll do $8 a month. The other one is Real George Webb One. So the number one on Twitter. And that's all free. It's not a subscriber model. So those are the two places to find me.
All right. We'll link to that in the show notes. George, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks. I'm going to check out of this hotel now. Thanks very much.
Peace and love.
Bye-bye.